Our first reading comes from Psalm 16. And we'll be reading the whole psalm, entitled, You Will Not Abandon My Soul. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We also have a reading from the New Testament, which is today's text. And we turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll be reading verses 3 to 5. Born again to a living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again in a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So far the readings.
Our beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostle broke out with an exclamation of praise. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, for what did he praise God? That was for a number of things. For God's great mercy, for a new birth, for a living hope, for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, for the inheritance we have in heaven, for the preservation of us, and for the coming salvation that will be revealed to us in the last day. In other words, there's many things that he praised God for. And we have every reason to praise God for the very same things. We praise our Father in Christ, who has given us new birth to salvation. Well, in the sermon, this new birth has three titles, or three topics. Number one is a merciful source. Number two, heavenly goal. And thirdly, the powerful means. So firstly, the source. The merciful source the merciful source of our new birth unto salvation. And that is twofold. It consists first of God's great mercy. And then second, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God has, in his mercy, given us new birth. By nature, we are all dead in our trespasses and sins. When we in Adam sinned, we died. We deserve death, and every kind of death, physical, spiritual, and eternal death. But Paul put in his letter to the Romans, the wages of sin is death. Death is what sin earns. But God did not leave us in a state of death. In his great mercy, that is contrary to what we deserved, God gave us new life. He gave us a rebirth. The Lord is merciful. Exodus 34 says about the Lord God, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. In Ephesians 2, Paul teaches that though we were dead in sin, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ Jesus. In his mercy, God raised us up in Christ even when we were dead. Well, we said that the source of a new birth is twofold. The other side of it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see how Peter put it? God has given us new birth through the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ was the Father's declaration that his Son has paid for our sins. It is sin that caused our death, and Christ paid for our sin. And his resurrection is proof that God the Father has accepted the payment. The atoning work of Christ's death on the cross was sufficient to ransom us from our sin. Because our sin is paid for, we now live again. There's no longer any good reason for us to remain spiritually dead. God gives us new birth. And also by his resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ conquered death. He overcame it and proved himself the victor over death and everything that death signifies. The Lord conquered sin, and he plundered the grave. He overpowered the prince of death, the devil, and who is life itself, destroyed the power of him who is death. Furthermore, Christ's resurrection is an assurance of our own blessed resurrection. There is an inseparable union between Christ and his flock. Because Christ arose, we too will one day arise. Our loved ones who lie in the grave, and we who will one day lie in the grave, we will rise again to new life. We will arise because Christ arose. Just like Christ could not remain in the grave because he conquered sin, the cause of death, we cannot remain in the grave because of Christ's victory. It's through his great mercy and through Christ's resurrection that God the Father has given us this new birth. We are reborn as his children. He is the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But no longer does God the Father have only one child. From eternity he did. But God the Father no longer has a one-child family. And no longer is Jesus then an only child. God has a big family. Well, what's a big family? 10, 12, maybe 15 children? Yeah, those are big families. But let me tell you how big God's family is. It is huge. God's family has so many children that no census would be able to count them. The family of God is innumerable. The children to whom God has given new birth, it transcends the millennia and encompasses the whole world. And you, beloved, you belong to that family. You are his children, sons and daughters of God the Father, born of mercy and resurrection. Well, praise God for that, child of God. Praise and thank God every day for the reality of your status as a child of God. And secondly, the goal, the heavenly goal of our new birth unto salvation. Well, just as the source of our new birth is twofold, so is the goal. God has given us a new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance. So first, the goal is a living hope. A living hope. God has given us new birth into a living hope. You know, we need hope. Things can go very bad in life. But as long as you have hope, it's okay. Or perhaps you've experienced hard things in the past, difficult things. You've had a very troubled past. But as long as you have hope for the future, you're okay. Things will be fine. Perhaps you are very ill or with a chronic illness or disease, or you have suffered an injury. But as long as you have hope, hope for the future, you will be okay. You can handle the hard things of the past or present because of your hope for the future. Well, the hope that we have is a living hope. Something alive that grows and develops and it increases. The hope unto which God has given us birth grows and develops and increases. Our hope is founded upon the resurrection of Christ. The new life of Christ and the new life we have in Christ, it's alive. In the midst of struggles, challenges, and difficulties of life, you have hope for the future. A hope that deepens and broadens, that grows and increases because it's alive. A hope that softens all our sorrows. And closely related to the first goal is the second goal. God has given us new birth into an inheritance. The inheritance we are born into is the essence of our living hope. Now, a child is born into an inheritance. Children inherit their parents' estate. And the estate might be big or it might be small. But the thing about earthly estates, big or small, is that they perish, spoil, and they fade. And on the last day, it's all going to burn. Those nice things that you've inherited or will inherit from your parents, it's all going to burn. Do not get too attached to them. Make sure that you're able to let them go on the last day. Just remember Lot's wife. But the thing about the inheritance into which God has given us new birth, that living hope, the thing about that estate is that it will never perish, never spoil, and never fade. It's imperishable. Kids, do you know what perishables are? Think of meat and milk and yogurt, cheese. We call them perishables. They go sour and off. Perishables, they fall apart. Our heavenly inheritance will never decay, never perish, and never fall apart. It will never spoil. The Greek says it is undefiled. Well, what is it that defiles? Sin defiles. Our inheritance, sin will not reach. As the book of Revelations teaches, sin will not enter the New Jerusalem. When a Christian dies and enters the first stages of his inheritance, he is free from sin. Death puts an end to sin, and so you enter into the first degree of your heavenly inheritance as a sinless person. Neither your sins nor anyone else's will defile the inheritance into which God has given us new birth. Our inheritance will never fade. It is unfading. Well, everything fades. Colour fades. A fresh cut bouquet of flowers fades and wilts. Just a week after you buy your lovely wife some flowers, she throws them out because they've faded. colour photos. With those striking colours, they fade over the years. But our heavenly inheritance will never fade. It will retain all its colour and all its beauty and intensity, all its original brilliance and splendour. You know, that crown of glory, though worn for millions of ages, will not be dimmed. The golden streets will lose none of their lustre, and the flowers that bloom on the banks of the river of life will always be as rich in colour and as fragrant as when we first saw and smelled them. This inheritance is kept for you in heaven. The Lord is reserving it and keeping it for you, for his chosen ones, for those who are strangers in the world, whom God the Father has chosen out of the world, and the Holy Spirit is sanctifying for those who are obedient to Jesus Christ. Psalm 16 speaks about our delightful inheritance. Those who in this life take refuge in God, who love the Lord and love his saints, the church, they may look forward to a pleasant inheritance. For them, the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. And though they die and are buried in the ground, they know that the Lord will not abandon them in the grave, but will call them out to the full enjoyment of their inheritance. And when the believer dies, already and immediately enjoys the first taste of his inheritance by being gathered up to Christ. But he will enter into the full happiness of it on the last day. And thirdly, the powerful means of our new birth unto salvation. Just like the source is twofold, and just like the goal is twofold, so the means of our new birth unto salvation is twofold. First, there is God's power, and then there is our faith. We come here to the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. From God's side, he preserves us by his power, and from our side, we persevere in the faith. We are weak, but God is strong, and he guards us, his chosen ones, to the end. That word shielded or guarded, it's a military term. It implies danger, and there is much spiritual danger around, so much that can hurt us and lead us astray from the faithful service of God. There is the devil who tempts us, and the world that beckons us, and our own flesh that betrays us. We are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand even for a moment. But our God, he guards us. He puts his fortress with his impregnable walls, and we are safe. He shields us from the flaming darts of the evil one. But God doesn't do this automatically. He gives us faith. He gives us faith so that we will persevere. And faith, that's a gift. And then a gift that we must exercise. Our faith needs to hold on to the gospel, to hold on to these promises. You need to persevere in the things God is preserving you in. You need to walk the way of faith. We are guarded by God's power through faith. By faith, remain in the new birth God has given you. By faith, hold on to his mercy. By faith, remain in the living hope you have through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. By faith, hold on to your inheritance. Do not be like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance. God will guard you through your faith until the end, until the coming of your salvation that is now ready in heaven. and which will be revealed in the last time. You know, the word ready needs to be connected to the word salvation. It is your salvation that is ready. Everything is ready. Everything is prepared, completed, and finished. The last words of our Lord on the cross said it all. It is finished. It has been completed. It has been fulfilled. Christ has gone to heaven and has prepared a place for you. He has prepared the new Jerusalem, which he will bring down to earth for you to dwell in. The new Jerusalem, which is your imperishable, undefiled, and unfading inheritance. It's all ready. It just needs to come down to be revealed. And today it remains somewhat hidden. Though with the eye of faith we can see it, but it does remain somewhat hidden. The unbeliever surely does not see it. But even to us believers, it's somewhat hidden. The eye does not see it yet. But soon it will all be revealed. In the last time, on the last day, the day of the Lord coming again, it will be revealed. Christ Jesus will reveal it all to us. And so we praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise him through Christ has given us new birth unto salvation. We praise him for the source of our new birth, his mercy, and Christ's resurrection. We praise him for the goal of our salvation, a living hope and a heavenly inheritance. And we praise him for the means of our new birth, his power and our faith. We praise him, and we praise him alone. Amen.